And as you're being seated and finding your place, you can take your Bibles and turn with us to the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. The Gospel of John, chapter number 6 this morning. And we are back in John 6 this morning, and the thought that we're looking at today was really born out of last week's message. And at first, what I was going to do last week was I was only going to mention it as a subpoint, just a passing thought connected to the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. But the more I was reading and preparing last week, and the more I looked at it, the more I realized that there is far too much here, and was too much here, to just squeeze it as a subpoint into another sermon. And so there's a message in the verse we're going to look at this morning all by itself and all by its lonesome. And you found your place there in John chapter 6. And I want you to notice verse number 12. John chapter 6 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And so here we have, after the miracle is over, after the multitude had eaten, after the people were filled, Jesus turns to the disciples and he tells them to gather up these fragments that are left over, to gather up these fragments that remain, and for just a very simple purpose, that nothing be lost. And now, as we saw last week in the immediate context of this verse, we know, of course, he is speaking about the broken pieces of bread that remained after the meal. But I believe that there is a truth here that reaches far beyond just bread and far beyond just loaves and just far beyond fish. And we find here, I believe, a glimpse into the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, a glimpse into the very heart of our Savior. And there's a challenge here for every disciple. There's a commission here for the church. And I want you to notice this and just realize exactly what Jesus said. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Jesus did not say here, throw the fragments away. He did not say, leave them where they are. He did not say, they do not matter. He said, gather them up. And I want us to realize and say this morning that witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ and soul winning and being a witness for Christ and sharing our faith is just that. It's fragment gathering. Because all around us, every single day, we have people that they are living broken lives, they are living scattered lives, they are living hurting lives, they're living forgotten lives, they're living overlooked lives, and there are souls that are every day hanging on the edges of eternity. Some are fragments because sin has shattered them. Some are fragments because sorrow has crushed them. Some are fragments because this world has, for lack of a better phrase, chewed them up and spit them out. Some are fragments because religion failed them. Some are fragments because home failed them. Some are fragments because they have wandered so far from God that they no longer believe anyone cares what becomes of them. But I want you to know something that this morning, that thought process of nobody cares, that is a lie from Satan himself. That is a lie from the pits of hell, because even David, there in the Psalms, I believe it's, Psalms chapter 80, 80 through 89 or something, and I don't have it written down, but just the thought has come to me. David, he's on the run from Absalom, and he says, "Behold, I look on my left hand, and I look on my right hand," and he says that, "Behold, no man cared for my soul." And there are people out there in our world today that they have that same mindset, that no one cares for their soul. But we need to be the ones that tell them that that's not true, that Jesus cares. That Jesus cares for their souls. And when the Lord looked at what remained, he did not just see useless leftovers. He saw something worth gathering. And that is the thought, that is the burden of the message this morning. And so again, we're here in John chapter 6. And again, John chapter 6 is one of the great chapters of the Word of God. It's one of the great chapters in the book of John. Jesus has just fed 5,000, at least that we know of. Because again, the Scripture says that here that in verse number 10, "So the men that sat down in number about 5,000." So all the Scripture records for us is that there were 5,000 men. It doesn't record women. It doesn't record children. And so if every man here had a wife and a child, we're talking perhaps upwards of 10, maybe 15,000 people that the Lord fed here. But he has fed the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And the multitude has eaten. The disciples have watched Christ do what no other man could do. And what looked insufficient became abundant in the hands of the Savior. And then in the midst of all that comes verse number 12. It would have been easy for the disciples to think that, well, the miracle's over. The crowd had eaten. The need had been met. And the work was done. But as so often is the case, we find out very quickly Jesus was not finished. And the same Lord who cared about feeding the multitude also cared about gathering the fragments. And there's a lesson there for us even this morning. And that is the work of Christ. It's not only just in the great public miracles, but it's also found in the careful gathering. It's not only in the big visible moments, but it is also in the quiet work of picking up what remains. And unfortunately, this is where many churches fail. Listen, we love the great crowd. We love the big day. We love the visible blessing, but the Lord also cares about the fragments. That's the thought I want us to see this morning about the fragments. And there's 4 things in particular I want us to see. Number 1, the saints' commission. The saints' commission. Notice again verse number 12. "When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up." Gather up. The command here is simple. It's direct. It's to the point. Jesus gave that instruction to his disciples. He did not tell the crowd to do it. He did not leave it to chance. He did not assume that, well, it would just happen on its own. He specifically charged his followers with the responsibility to gather up the fragments. And this right here is a picture of the church, because the responsibility of gathering belongs to the saints. It belongs to us. Listen this morning. We know only Christ can save a soul. Only Christ can give eternal life. Only Christ can perform the miracle of new birth, but he has given us the responsibility to gather. He has given us the responsibility to go out and compel them to come in, that his house might be filled. And listen, we looked at it this morning in Sunday school. We cannot change their heart, but we can carry to them the gospel. We can give to them the truth that Christ is able to save. And that is the work of soul winning. It's not sitting back and hoping that people drift in. It's not assuming that somebody else will witness. It's not waiting until it's convenient. It's gathering up. Gathering children from broken homes, gathering teenagers from confusion, gathering moms and dads crushed under life, gathering elderly people who sit alone, gathering backsliders who have wandered, gathering bus kids, gathering neighbors, gathering the hurting, the wounded, the addicted, the ashamed, and the forgotten. Luke 14:23, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto his servant, or I'm sorry, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know, if a house were on fire and someone inside was crying for help, nobody's going to stand on the sidewalk and say, well, you know, I hope they find a way out. No, love compels action. Burden moves the feet. And that's what witnessing is. That's what soul winning is. It's not a casual interest, but it is urgent gathering. It's knowing that you have a friend or a family member and that they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so you do everything within your power with the Lord's help to make sure that they know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them. Now listen, they might not get saved. They might not trust Christ. They might not make a decision at that moment in time that you witness to them or share Christ with them. But listen, at least you have witnessed to them and you have done your part. Unfortunately, this morning, some Christians are content to admire the Great Commission without obeying it. But Jesus did not say, discuss the fragments. He said, gather up. Gather up. And listen this morning, a church that is right with God will not only just love the preaching and the singing and the fellowship, it will love gathering souls. And when someone new comes through those doors, we'll make them feel welcome and at home. And above all, be concerned that do they know Christ as their Savior? And then secondly, this morning, we see the saints' commission. But then secondly, we see the scattered condition. We see the scattered condition. Notice verse 12 again. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments. Notice again what Jesus calls them. He calls them the fragments. Fragments are pieces. Fragments are broken parts. Fragments are what remain after something has been broken apart. And this right here, it's the picture of people all around us. Sin that has fragmented lives. Drugs that have fragmented lives. Alcohol that has fragmented lives. Broken homes that have fragmented lives. False religion that has fragmented lives. Abuse that has fragmented lives. Bitterness that has fragmented lives. Grief that is fragmented lives, disappointment that is fragmented lives. And listen, some people, they come into the church and do so and they're polished and you know, you can't see the cracks. But so many more, they come into the church and they're coming in and they're coming in pieces. I remember years ago, there was a young man who came in we were having our Sunday evening service, and he came in and after the service, I happened to be preaching that Sunday night, and as per usual, gave an invitation. And usually on a Sunday night, it's, you know, whoever is there is usually saved and they know Christ, and gave the invitation, but this gentleman raised his hand for salvation. And so I went down after the service and started talking with him. And he came in and he was honest about it. He was hungry. He was looking for something to eat. And he had mentioned that he had been to maybe two or three other churches that day. And they'd all just turned him away. And so we were able to talk to him about salvation. And that night, he got saved. He trusted Christ as his Savior. Later on, he'd come and he'd get baptized. And until he moved out of the city, he was faithful. Unless he had to work or whatever the case may be, he was there. Now, what would have happened if, well, he came in and he wasn't as polished as maybe we thought he should have been? And, you know, it was the end of service. And you know, what if an invitation wasn't given? What if, you know, we were just in a hurry to get out and close and lock the doors and go home? I mean, of course, you know, after a Sunday night, everybody's pretty tired. They want to get home. What would have happened? If we're not careful this morning, we will become the kind of people who only know what to do with whole loaves. Now, I like to go down to Tops every now and again, or to a bakery, and every now and again they have a nice loaf of Italian bread that hasn't been cut yet, and I like to get a couple of those every so often, and but it's whole. I mean, you can't necessarily make a sandwich with that until you cut it. Or eat it, you know, until you cut it into pieces and fragments. But we only sometimes know what to do with the whole loaves. But Jesus here, he told his disciples to gather fragments. That means this morning the Lord is interested in people who are broken. He's interested in people who are scattered. People, you know, who are, they're just holding on by a thread. You know, you ever ask somebody, how are you doing today? And they said, oh, I'm hanging in there. You ever stop to think about maybe what they actually mean? They're hanging in there? They're hanging on by a thread sometimes. People whose lives do not look neat and clean and easy. But thank God he still receives the fragments this morning. Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, a scattered piece of stained glass on the floor may look useless to most people. But in the hands of a skilled craftsman, even broken pieces can become part of something beautiful. Again, and what man and what the world calls broken, Christ can still use. And we need to, as a church, stop looking at people only through the lens of what they are right now and see what they can be with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ and his help and his grace and his salvation. That addicted man who may be a future testimony of grace. That wild child who may be a future preacher. That troubled teenager who may become a missionary. The broken woman may become one of the godliest prayer warriors in all the church. That bitter man that just he hasn't yet been softened by the mercy and grace of God. We need to look past where they are now and look and see, well, if God got a hold of them, where could they be? Do not write off the fragments. And so we see thirdly, this morning, the soul winner's concern. The soul winner's concern. Verse number 12 again. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. The phrase there is that remain. In other words, this morning there are still ones to reach out to. There are still those that are unreached, still those that are untouched, still those sitting there after the meal, still those that are present, but not yet gathered. This is the burden of witnessing. This is the burden of soul winning. A soul winner is concerned about those who remain. Those still outside the fold, those still without Christ, those still on the fringes, those still in darkness, those still in confusion, those still wandering far from God. And listen, the church must never lose its burden for those that remain. Listen, it's easy this morning to focus on those already seated at the table. There's an old gospel song years ago, "My house is full, but my fields are empty." Here's what the problem has become. The house has become full, and because the fields were left to remain empty, well, now the house is becoming empty. Because when the house was once full, those who were in the house, where they were not going out and witnessing and sharing Christ and getting the gospel out and inviting people to church. I don't know if I sent it out in the group text or not, but statistics over the years have proved that people will come to church not because the pastor invites them, not because the Sunday school teacher invites them, not because of, you know, we're sending out these new movers and things, and that's great, but over 80% of people who come to church do so because a friend has invited them to church. Because a friend has invited them to church. It's easy to pour ourselves only into those already in the building, already in the choir, already in the pew, already in the fellowship. But the command of Jesus reaches far beyond those already gathered and makes us look at what remains. In other words, who is still out there? Who has not yet heard clearly? Who is still on the bus route but unsaved? Who still needs a visit? Who still needs a gospel tract? Who still needs somebody to pray with them or for them? Who still needs a witness? Luke 15:4, the Bible says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now listen, a shepherd is not at rest just because most of the flock is safe. If one is still missing but and not there, his concern goes toward the one that remains out there. Man, and I'll go home on a Sunday, and if somebody wasn't here, I'll say, or she'll ask me, "Hey, where was so-and-so?" "I don't know, where was so-and-so?" And so then we reach out and say, "Hey, where were you? Everything all right?" Because even though we have everybody that is here, well, now we're wondering, well, where is everybody? And usually people are pretty good about telling us, you know, that they're not going to be here before they're not here. Like today, Joan, Katie, they said, you know, Katie's feeling pregnant, so they're not here this morning, lost track of time. Virginia messaged that she'll see us tonight at 5. And so usually people are good about saying, "Hey, I won't be there today." Couple months ago, Mrs. Atiyah back here, she says, you know, with the winter and with the cold and the snow and everything, she said, "Yeah, I don't usually get out with the cold and the snow, and so you won't see me for a while, but I'll be back." And sure enough, she's back. And so usually people are good about it, but you know, when they don't communicate, you know, then you start, you know, you wonder, you know, and usually it's something simple. You know, they were in, like Martha today, and again, she said, you know, "One, weren't going to be here, and you know, hey, you know, I'm sick," or whatever the case may be, and you know, or on vacation, or you know, whatever have you. And so, but that's the heart. Not satisfied. And listen, be thankful for the ones that come, but never be satisfied because some came. Be burdened because some remain. There ought to be names in our hearts this morning, faces in our minds, families that we know, people we pass every week, neighbors we wave at, relatives we love, coworkers we talk to, and they remain. And because they remain, we must go. And then fourthly and finally this morning, we see the Savior's compassion. We see the Savior's compassion. Notice again verse number 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And here is the heartbeat of the whole message this morning. That nothing be lost. And that is not just practical language. That reveals the heart of the Savior. He cares that nothing be lost. He cares about what others overlook. He cares about what others would discard. He cares about the broken pieces. He cares about those at the edge. He cares about the ones everybody else has given up on. This verse harmonizes with all the rest of Scripture. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said in John 3:17 that the world through him might be saved. He said in John 6:39 that all of which the Father had given him, he should lose nothing. That right there is the compassion of Christ. The world says throw them away. Society says they're too far gone. Religion says they don't fit. But Jesus says, gather them up. John 6:39, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the same day. You know, many people, they throw away cracked things because they think cracked means useless. But sometimes the thing with the crack is the very thing people treasure most because of the story it carries and the value that it still holds. When Manny and I were dating, I forget when I got it for her. It was either for Christmas or for Valentine's Day, but I got her a little stuffed bear that she affectionately called Bear Bear. And she would sleep with Bear Bear. And to this day, she still has a death grip with her hands and her, when she hugs you, she can, you know, really. And so she held that bear so tight that now it's sitting up there on one of our dressers at home. And if you go and you pick it up, the head kind of flops down. That she hugged it so tightly. And so I told her one day, I said, why don't you just throw that bear away? I'll get you a new bear. And she says, no, it's my Bear Bear. It's because you got it for me. And that's what the world does. Well, because it's a little bit cracked, because it's a little bit broken, because it's a little bit old, we throw it away. There was a church in New Jersey, and the older pastor retired, and this was a church, a fairly large church, and so they had a pastoral staff, and so they had the senior pastor, the assistant pastor, the youth pastor, and so on and so forth. And well, a few of these men, they were older, and so new pastor comes in, and it was the son of the senior pastor. So, you know, for the most part, thought things would be the same throughout. But the new senior pastor came in, and he let the entire pastoral staff go. And for no other reason that we could surmise that what was told was because they were older. Listen, there's wisdom in folks who are older. Sometimes that thing that, with the crack, that's the very thing that we can treasure because of that story it carries, the value that it holds. How much more then does Christ value a human soul? If Jesus had compassion on the fragments this morning, then so should we. We ought to have compassion on the alcoholic. We ought to have compassion on the prodigal. We ought to have compassion on the abused child. We ought to have compassion on the bitter. Compassion to the man in bondage. Compassion to the family in chaos. Compassion to the lonely widow. Compassion on the lost religious person. Who, yes, they might have church language, but they have no Christ. Because they matter to Him. And if they matter to Him, then they ought to matter to us. So this morning, Jesus did not say, throw the fragments away. He said, gather them up. And that is the message this morning. The Saints' Commission, the scattered's condition, the soul winner's concern, the Savior's compassion. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Soul winning, witnessing, is fragment gathering. Church, this morning, may I encourage us to never let us get so polished that we forget the broken. Let us never get so inward that we forget the lost. Let us never get so comfortable with the loaves already in hand that we forget the fragments still lying out there. There are fragments in our town, fragments in our family, fragments in our neighborhoods, fragments in our schools, fragments in our nursing homes, fragments in addiction, fragments in false religion. Fragments sitting one invitation away from hearing the gospel. And Jesus still says, gather them up. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.